for great ideas and practical tools you can start using tomorrow to grow your business and separate you from the competition, you've come to the right place. If you're into B2B marketing and sales, then welcome to the one and only B2B Marketing and Sales Podcast. With over 60 and counting total years in the trenches of businesses small and large, they have a plethora of knowledge and experience that generate you more leads, capture more clients, ring up more sales. Well, doggone it, just make you more money. How about that? Always thought-provoking, yet dubiously entertaining. Please welcome to their respective microphones across three time zones, your co-ringmasters, the Dave Loomis, and not the rock star, Steve Miller.
Hey everybody, it's Steve Miller, better known as Kelly's dad, marketing gunslinger, and not the rock star. So, yes, welcome to the B2B Marketing and Sales Podcast. As you know, it's me and my very, very good friend, David Mayo Loomis, and I, who are mostly on together, but we also like to bring in friends. He calls them friends. I call them BFFs. And, you know, people to come in and that we can talk to individually and kind of go off into some different directions that you know, I mean, even though Dave and I get along really, really well, you know, he has some talents and expertise that I don't have, you know, and vice versa. So we like to take advantage of that and go out and find some people. And I found this guy, I think, if I did the calculations correct, it was 11 years ago. And I think we were in Atlanta.
Probably 11, but I think it was Nashville.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It was Nashville. You're absolutely right about that. Yeah. We met at Robin Robbins boot camp, or was it a boot camp or producer's boot camp or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
And Robin Robbins, who we both just think the world of, is one of the smartest people on the planet to me, a great marketer, all that good stuff. And like I used to have many, many years ago, she's a redhead. She's a ginger. And which is why she and I get along really, really well. So anyway, Tom and I met, and he was one of the attendees there. And we got to talking, and we were, and somehow we, I mean, you contacted me about doing an interview with you there, and which we did. We had a great time doing this stuff, and since then we have off and on connected and talked and stuff like that. You know, we have not stayed as well connected as we should, but we're gonna try to fix that today. So this is Tom Malesi. Gang, people, BFFs. And Tom, according to his bio, is only 26 years old. No, wait, that's not what that said. It said you started in the biz 26 years
there
ago.
There we go.
That's what it says. Now, talking about the company, your company is called Easy Solution. You also have Easy Marketing, right? Uh-huh. And then, you know, as you also have shared with me, you are a serial entrepreneur. So you are doing just a bunch of stuff.
I just can't help myself.
You can't help yourself. I can help myself. I'm actually very, very good at that. I can share the high points of this stuff, like that, you know, Easy Solutions has been an Inc. 5000, fastest growing companies, you know, in the US and in the world and stuff like that. You have built over 2,100 websites. I don't know if I've even seen any of them. Of course I have.
Hopefully you have.
Of course
I have.
That's
a lot of websites.
In fact, you're building one right now for a client of mine.
Absolutely.
And that I, you know, said, you know, they said, we need a new website. I said, yes, you do. And they said, well,
yes,
we don't know how to build. I said, I got a guy. I know a guy. And so I put you in touch with them. But before we get into our conversation for today, because we are going to talk about website conversion, optimization, stuff like that for your companies. I love Tom's story. See, I know that if we go back far enough, that you were a Kirby vacuum cleaner salesperson.
You're going back really far.
I know. If we go back far enough, you did that. And then somehow you got involved with somebody who was going to build a website or something like that, right?
Yeah, I knew a guy from college.
The story of how you got involved in website, tell that story.
So I was right after college, I was selling stuffed animals to gift shops, really high pressure kind of sales job. And a buddy of mine who I knew from college, I was selling his dad's store, and he pulls me aside and says, "Hey, I need a sales guy to sell websites." And I said, "What's a website?"
So I remember you told me that story, you know, in Nashville. You're like, "Yeah, what's a website?"
"It's a website." It was like 1996. I had no idea, you know. Web programming at that time was pathetic and didn't look nice. And it couldn't, because, you know, you had your 14.4 baud modem that it had to load on. So a lot has changed since then. And Exactly. And I ventured out on my own and, you know, just having a good time since then.
Yeah, you've done a great job of building this business, and you know, and I follow your posts and your newsletter and everything like that. And I said, "Look, I really want you to come on, because, you know, obviously everybody."
Oh, you froze, Steve.
That we're talking to, they have a website. Most websites, I have been fortunate enough to not really get too wigged out about it. It hasn't really impacted me that much. But for most of my clients, I'm very on top of that stuff. You know, yeah. Like the cobbler's kids don't have shoes. You know, I don't have a good. So I want you to tell us. You know, having this vast experience of building sites and things like that, let's just start with a simple question of, what would you say is the purpose of a company's website?
Yeah, interesting question. So every company website has a slightly different purpose. So we have clients that their purpose is to generate leads, right? I want somebody to fill out a request an appointment, and I want to talk to people. I want to schedule a meeting. It's a lot of what B2B wants. Sometimes it's just flat out make a sale. Just click here and buy it. And then some of the restaurants, you know, it's a place your online order, right? Whether it's, you know, delivery or pickup. And then, you know, you have some businesses that just kind of want a brochure, and that's okay too. It's really about what does the business want the website to accomplish? So I'm a big believer that it should accomplish something, not just be a little glorified brochure. So
yeah.
I really like working with the companies that they're looking to generate a lead. They're looking for it to be a revenue producing outlet for them.
At some point, it's going to connect to money.
Yes. Yeah, those are our best clients.
Yeah. And frankly, I don't even pay any attention to the people that just kind of say, "Well, you know, we just have a website because we're supposed to."
Yeah.
And I go, "You don't really get this, do you?"
Because I have clients that say, "Look, I just want people to be able to see my work. Like, I'm so busy right now, I can't keep up with the work I have." So I'll have some commercial builders or people like that that really just want to showcase their work. But for the most part, people want to let's have it make money. I mean, really, your website's the center of all of your marketing.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe that.
Well, I learned many, many years ago when I was first starting in business and stuff like that from who is now a good friend of mine. I know you know Nito Cobain.
Oh, sure.
And I heard Nito say one time, long time ago, he said, "The most important time for you to be marketing is when you're too busy."
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you don't, then don't worry.
Yeah, it's going to be harder later.
Don't right? worry. One of these days you won't be too busy, and then you'll have plenty of time to get into your marketing. And exactly. so the website, and especially today, the website is kind of like it's like your front door.
100%.
You know, to the world.
Every piece of marketing you do points to your website.
Right.
You know, right. Even all your social media, but you think, you know, even think traditional marketing, right? You're not going to run an ad in a magazine and not have your website there, right? The first thing everyone's going to do is go to your website and check it out. So if that's bad, all your marketing's bad.
Yes. Yeah. And it also had, it's not just that you can use it to ultimately create new business and get new customers and make more money and stuff like that. But it's also a branding, a huge part of your branding proposition, your promise, how people then when they leave your website, what do they think about you?
Right. Are you the right customer for them? Do they read that opening headline and couple paragraphs of text and say, these guys are for me? Or do they go, I don't even know what they do.
What the heck do they do?
What
it's
is
like
this?
Being in a trade show. You know, I can't tell you how many times, you know, I've been at trade shows and I stand in front of somebody's booth and I go, what the hell do you do?
all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, it's brutal. I'd say it's like 75% of the booths at a trade show. Like yeah. You look at what they do, and I'm their target market. I look at them and I go, I don't know what you
yeah.
guys do.
Yeah. So it's, yeah. You know, I see too many websites that fall into that.
Same thing.
That trap as well.
Right. Because we're trying to be clever instead of communicate with our target audience.
Yeah. I just don't like the word clever in the world of marketing. Yeah. You know, I'm much more of just tell them who you are, tell them what you do, tell them why you're better.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Tell them how you help them.
How you help them. How right. you solve a problem for them. How you
it's all about that.
Yeah. How you help them achieve something. I mean, you're talking to them from their perspective and they're going, oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So that sounds like somebody that I want to talk to.
Yeah. If in those couple opening lines of their website, if they don't read that and go, oh my gosh, they totally get me. That's exactly the problem I have. I have to call these people. If that right. doesn't happen, you lost them, right? Because our attention span for marketing is seconds.
Yeah.
Right? It's why reels on YouTube and Facebook get better attraction, because we don't have 30 minutes to watch something.
Right? Yeah, I was doing quick. I'm sorry, what, Tom?
Everything's got to be quick, quick, quick. They have to be able to kind of scan it and know that this is right. And then obviously we have enough copy for the person who really is really high fact finder, detail oriented, that really wants to read and read.
Right, right. I was preparing for a presentation yesterday and found the statistic that the average visitor to a B2B website spends 82 seconds.
Oh, that's long. I thought it was going to be less.
Well, see, here's what, yeah, but here's what was interesting about it was that, you know, because then it said the average visitor on a B2C website spends 44 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, and so you ask yourself the question, well, number one, why did they come there? And then number two, why did they leave? What would you say is the reason? I mean, we kind of know that they're coming there because they are looking for information about something,
right?
Right, so and they've probably done some kind of a search,
right? So it's got to grab them right away. Sometimes you can say, well, B2C is less because majority of the time that they're looking. That they go there, they're just trying to get a phone number. They're trying to get your hours, right? So you could argue that maybe it's less because of the why they're going there. But I think they go there and they look and they go, oh, that's not what I want. And they just hit that back button and go to the next one on the Google search.
Right, right.
Right? So how much do we judge it? You know, you go to that website, you judge it instantaneously to say, content-wise, am I at the right spot? But also, like, does this look like it's 15 years old? Like, if the website looks bad, I also make the assumption that your business is bad, right? Like, if you can't put the most effort into this, right? If you couldn't put a nice shirt and pair of pants on when you went to a nice restaurant, huh? You know, yeah. Am I interested? You know,
right. Right.
So, you know, we say, oh, don't judge a book by its cover, but that's what we do.
That's what we
right?
do. What do you, what I do. Don't understand that statement. Don't judge a book by its cover. Of course we judge
course
a book
we
by its cover.
Welcome to marketing.
You know, that's why my publisher, you know, like right now we're working on my next book they haven't even read, I mean, I just delivered the transcript, right? And they haven't even read it yet. And they're all read. And the most important thing to them right now is they're working on the cover.
Right. Right.
You know, because even online, the cover of the book makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's kind of go back into your world.
Okay.
And let's say, like, how do you work with people? What is it that what are people looking for when they contact you? I mean, I know you said they might have these different reasons. I mean, when you start to work with somebody, what are the types of questions that you're asking them?
Yeah, the first questions we ask are questions about them. Like, I want to understand their business and how their business makes money. Because if I can understand that, then I can help guide them through the process of, well, what kind of website should we have, right? And then we're going to talk about what's been working, what doesn't work, who are your best customers. And then, you know, then we talk about page structure and design. And, you know, is it important to rank on Google for you? How are we going to do that, right? So a lot of times we build a site in two ways. We build it for the person to convert, right? So they get to the site and they take the action we want them to take. But we also have to build it so that Google loves them. Because if Google doesn't like them, then no one's going to get to your site. And what's the point? So it's kind of this balancing act between what Google wants and what the person wants.
And you and I both know that Google over the years keeps changing.
Ugh, horribly. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, so, it wasn't that long ago. It wasn't that long ago where, and I hesitate to use this term, but, you know, keyword stuffing.
Oh yeah,
was kind of the rage.
I was wonderful. It was so simple, right? White text on a white background.
White text, and I was just going to bring up the white text. I would be willing to bet that there are a lot of people watching this and listening to this who don't know what we're talking about right now.
Yeah, they probably don't.
And this was a way to game the system. Go ahead and explain that to them.
So if you have a white background of the page and you put white text, it means you can't see the words. So you could just repeat the keywords over and over again at the bottom of the page that no human could see, but Google could see it. So that used to work. It was so wonderful. And gosh, that hasn't worked in a long time.
No, Google, once Google figured out, that was too easy.
Yeah.
That was too easy for these people.
We did that years ago. Then we would do excessive backlinking. And that was like a game changer for us. Like, we could get rankings instantaneously because we would build all these like little link farms and get all these other websites to link to us. And you'd kind of like submit forms and it would just like generate all these backlinks. And then Google said, well, that doesn't work anymore. So their theory before was, look, the most popular kid in school has everybody's friends with that kid.
That's right.
Right. But that's not actually the way the world works, right? If that Google came back to reality and said, well, it's really not important that everybody's friends with you. It's only important if the popular kids are friends with you. Right? Because if I'm the popular kid and I'm hanging out with all the unpopular kids, what happens to me? I become unpopular because all the popular kids are like, why is Tom hanging out with that kid?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how Google works now. Right. So you can't have bad backlinks, and they call them toxic backlinks. And we actually spend hours every month for clients and search for these toxic backlinks and say, Google, see these friends? We're not really friends with them. Ignore them. So that Google.
Yeah. You can tell Google I'm no, we are not connected to those
people. I don't know who these people are. I don't know why they're linking to me. Right. It's right. So funny. But
so, yeah, so
people change the rules all the time.
Yeah, they change it all the time. But it seems like now it's more of a reasonable that what really helps you is a reasonable I don't know what the word I'm looking for. But anyway, a reasonable requirement or something like that. You have good content.
It's harder. I have less tricks.
Yeah, well, because you have to have good content.
Yes.
Right? That's really, isn't that really kind of the name of the game right now?
100%. Right? So it's the concept, content is king, and the more content you have, the better, and the more optimized content that you have, the better. And Google doesn't like thin content. In other words, not a lot of words on the page. Right. They like 500, 750, 2000 words on the page. They like better than if you have a page that has two sentences.
Well, when you say optimized content, is that what you mean by you know, kind of like a 2000 word article or blog post or something like that?
Yeah.
That is filled with good information.
Good information. And we have a very focused keyword grouping that we're trying to get that page to rank for.
Explain that.
So if you're trying to rank for marketing consultant, we have to have an article about the 7 questions you should ask a marketing consultant. Marketing consultant pitfalls, you know, what are the things you should avoid when hiring? Or so things that are, I'm going to call it like clickbait kind of titles, right? Something catchy, but that we're using the word marketing consultant in the biggest words on the page, and that we have good sub headlines throughout the copy that really, really talk about what a marketing consultant is, right? Mm-hmm. But then we could have something else that says branding for your business, right? And then we'd have an article about that. So it's all about how do you create topic areas and create multiple pages around specific topics. So we do that on pages on the website, but then we do it in blogs too, because blogs are like the easiest way to generate more content all the time.
Yeah, because then that's also current.
Yeah. Yeah. Frequently, we won't put dates on blogs.
Yeah.
Because I never want it to look old.
Yeah, I stopped doing that. I started to think, why do I have my date?
Yeah, why do I have,
why do I have the date that I published this?
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
People go, that thing was 10 years ago.
Then what you do, Steve, is you take that 10-year-old article and you just kind of spruce it up a little bit. And now Google sees it as you took a past blog and you refreshed it. Now it's new again in Google.
Right.
So we do that stuff too. So they're all tricks.
And I will say that is one of the things that, you know, if you disagree with me, I want to hear all about this. But that is one of the ways that I use AI. Is
how I use an AI.
Is to take an article that I wrote, okay, yes. And then I'll put it into AI and I'll say, okay, rewrite this.
Yeah.
And then it comes out. It's still basically what I've put together, but it comes out in a different presentation, and then I'll clean that up a little bit, but it's a new piece.
Yeah. You can absolutely use it that way. Now
saves a lot of time.
Yeah. The trick is then you got to run it through an AI tool to see if Google thinks it looks like AI.
Oh yeah.
We've had blogs that we wrote from start to finish that we run through the tool and Google goes, AI wrote this.
I wrote it. I've had that happen to me too, where I've written pieces, you know, like this new book I'm working on, you know, I'll stick stuff in and it'll come back and it'll say, no, this is written by an AI. And I'm like, do I look like a freaking AI? You know what I mean? Come on.
You know? Well, you shouldn't ask me that.
Well, thanks for coming on.
Yeah. We'll see.
You know, and so and of course this presents another issue with the websites is the AI situation, right? How has that impacted how you build sites, how you work with people, and what are you doing with them now today?
So it hasn't impacted it tremendously. So we use AI to be more efficient. So we might have it help us think through ideas, and then we edit and filter it. Sometimes when we're writing main pages on the website, we're going to make sure that we have all the really strong sales copy towards the top of the page, and then maybe towards the bottom of the page, where quite honestly, it's a lot less important because we know that people don't read the whole page. We might use AI to help us write more of the stuff towards the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So, but okay. We're definitely using AI. It's a helper tool. It's not.
Yeah, it's yes. Yeah. Oh,
right. I mean, and I think people freak out about AI and say, yeah. Oh my gosh, this is such a bad thing. It's taking over the world.
Yeah.
In the marketing, let's just keep it to marketing. AI is such a big topic. But it's just a tool, just like Photoshop was or Illustrator back in the day when, you know, did artists freak out and say, oh, my hand drawings, they probably did, you know, now I can do everything on the computer, but we can't even imagine going back to that. But now we can do AI photos, even inexpensive tools like Canva now have a whole AI thing that you can
generate. Oh yeah.
Right. That's brand new. That's actually as of, I don't know, the last
Canva week. Canva's killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, with their Magic Studio the AI, sticking that AI stuff in there. I've been using that quite a bit the last couple of weeks since it came out. Just to know what it can do.
Oh, yeah. And that's a really expensive tool that, you know, has a lot of power behind it right now. You know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Adobe suite. Like, will Canva overtake Adobe? Because Adobe's really expensive still, so.
Well, it's almost like, what was the number one reason why people got Photoshop, used Photoshop?
Yeah, edit photos.
It was to make the background transparent. You know? Yeah. I mean, that was a huge thing about Photoshop. You couldn't do it without Photoshop. And now.
Right. Or combine images. We do that all the time, right? So we produce a lot of video content and the same kind of thing. Like I might be. I pretend to hold something and I just put my hand up and magically, you know, my Kelly, not your Kelly, will put something in my hand on a video screen or on an image. Right. So,
yeah. Or you can erase parts of it. That used to be just a Photoshop thing.
Yeah.
And now it takes me 30 seconds.
I know,
you know, on, so nice. I use what's it called? RB background or remove background or something like that. And it just takes no time at all.
Yeah, it's very fun.
Kay would like there was a picture that I wanted to use of Kay when she was hiking up near Mount Rainier, and there was this woman in the background, that I did not want in there, and you know,
delete,
and she's gone. You know?
Yeah.
so that really makes this stuff easier. But if we go back to talking about the websites, yeah, I mean that's all well and good. For simple stuff. I would never, if I needed something complicated done, I'm going to get somebody to do that. I'm not going to do that stuff myself. And I'm always going to need help with my website. Just putting it all together is just,
It's a big project, and most business owners aren't writers and they're not designers, right? So you might be able to say, I like this or I like that, or can you make my site looks like this site? But for them to do it, that's a whole other skill set.
Right.
So, and just knowing like, where do you put call to action buttons and how do you use that and how you get this thing to work, right? So there's a big difference between having a site and having a site that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's just trial and error. Hey, should that button be red? Should it be yellow?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's little stupid stuff that.
Well, then that gets back to a very, very basic tenet of marketing that I tell people all the time. I said the secret to marketing is testing, and because nobody knows if something's going to really work or not.
You
have to test. A/B testing is just the simplest way to do it.
But then the question is, how are you measuring it? Right. So. Here's the classic thing. Most marketing companies, ad agencies, they have no idea how to measure it. So they can't really do that kind of testing, right? So we do call tracking and form tracking. We stick it all in a dashboard.
Explain, for people who don't know what those are, explain what they are.
So I can stick a phone number on your website that when it dials, it records the call and tracks it into a piece of software. But what it's doing is it's just redirecting to your primary line. So you don't notice a difference, but I'm able to say this call came off of Google Ads or came off of this Facebook ad or came off of organic SEO, right? So I know where everything came from, and I know if it was a real lead or was a junk lead. So then we can look in a dashboard and say, okay, so how much money did you make off this? Did you close this deal? So from a sales manager standpoint, it's wonderful because you're doing lead tracking and you can do sales coaching. Hey, when you told him X, that's probably not a good idea. Maybe say it this way. Or you listen to your receptionist who picks up the phone, and you're like, oh man. Or how many calls went to voicemail? Right? Are we not even answering our phone? Losing these, we're spending all this money on marketing and no one answers the phone. That happens all the time to our clients. And
Is
then
that is that why?
it, you know.
Yeah. Now, I really briefly glossed over the fact that you have that Easy Solution was your first business.
Yeah.
And then a few years ago, you spun off Easy Marketing.
So I just rebranded it really. So what ended
You
up
were all, I
happening?
know you were already
Yeah.
doing this stuff, but
Yeah.
you rebranded it and you kind of moved them, even though
Yeah.
they're right next to each other.
Yeah. So I was doing web development and some digital marketing, and then I was doing computer support, and I still do computer support. And then I bought an ad agency. So now I'm doing like radio, TV, print, logos. And that like did not live with I fix your computer. So we just, from a brand standpoint, separated into Easy Computer Solutions and then Easy Marketing. So the company name is technically Easy Solution, but we market under two different brands.
Yeah, and there's separate websites,
Yes.
easysolutions.com and easymarketing dot com. And I know you've written a couple of books.
Yeah, that was fun.
Anybody who likes to write books is a sick person.
It's just not that hard.
Not now it isn't with AI, that's for sure.
Not business books anyway. I think regular books are probably tough.
Yeah, without question. Without question. Okay.
Yeah.
But what are the books that not I know you've got one and it's like what your web designer doesn't tell you.
Yeah. So my first book was What Your Web Designer Never Tells You. So it was really just kind of what do you look for? How do you hire this person? What's the difference between a big city company and a smaller company and a one-man shop, kid out of their basement? Like what should you expect? Those kind of things. And then of course, why make things difficult? My next book was What Your Computer Guy Never Tells You. Same kind of thing. And then our last book was called Market Like You Mean It. And I'm sure I'm due for another book now.
Market, I don't think I know market like you mean it. I know the first two.
Yeah,
I
so
don't.
we kind of took we were doing a lot of white papers, in different categories, and we really just kind of took all that content and
Yeah.
really formulated it
That's a
into a
great
book.
idea. It's like some people I know that are and they are successful writers and speakers. They'll do a blog for a while and then they'll pick out the top
Yep.
most read pieces, put them together, and they got a book,
Exactly.
you know,
Exactly.
so
And
yeah.
a
And
book is a wonderful, wonderful marketing tool.
that's
Like,
what
let's just go
that was
with it.
my
Is
next
that where you're
question was my
going?
next, if it's as good for you as it has been for me.
Yeah. So from a B2B standpoint, right? This is embarrassing. I kind of call it a glorified ad specialty tool. Like, are you gonna print pens with your name on it, or are you gonna have a book? Right? What are you gonna throw away? Like, I'm going to throw away that beer cozy or that pen or that notepad that I'm passing out at a trade show or wherever I'm going. But if I hand somebody a book that I'm the author of, they don't throw that stuff away. Nobody throws books away.
Yeah.
And even if
I
they
have
never read it, I don't care.
I don't care.
I don't
I
care.
have for years said that the best giveaway is a book that
Yep.
you wrote. Now, the
That's
second
right.
best giveaway is a book that you didn't write, but
That's true too.
a book is still the best giveaway that you can do. And here's a tip that I give everybody. That's that, and I've given away thousands of books.
Yep.
Kate, my smoking hot wife, Kay, we've given away thousands of our books, But I can count, I can connect that with over eight figures in consulting and speaking and yep. stuff like that over the years.
Right.
I mean, really, really fantastic stuff. But one yep. of the one little secret that I share it, you know, I have no problems sharing it, is yeah. that when I give somebody a book, I always give them another one. I give them two books, one I sign for them and one that I just sign. And I say, hey, if you know anybody who needs this type of information,
yeah, hand it to them.
You give it to them as a gift from you. And you say, oh, and it's signed. I know this guy, you know, yeah. and it's signed for you, right?
Exactly. Exactly. It's
such a fantastic, I mean, how much are you willing to pay for a really, really good lead, you know, and a book, even if you have a publisher and you buy it from them, it's still cheap. It's mm-hmm. still not expensive. It's going to be under $10 if you get it from a publisher. If you do it yourself, if you self-publish, it's going to be under $5.
That's right.
And so that is a very inexpensive lead magnet, quite yes. frankly.
It's all part of credibility marketing. So even on your website, we want to have things that add credibility. So whether it's pulling in all of your Google reviews and displaying that, or it's video testimonials, or it's case studies, or it's like a project portfolio. All that stuff helps the visitor of the website say that you're credible and you're not a hack. And that's so important in that customer journey as to how do we get them to think, oh, you can help me. You clearly say you can fix the problem. Here's people that you already helped fix that same problem. Here's their testimonial that you've helped fix that problem. Gosh, I really have to call these folks.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but in a book is something that you can give some because you know, there's an old saying, you know, that we've both heard a million times, you know, people do business, people they know, people they like, and people
and
they trust. Okay. And those are great, but that's an incomplete statement.
What do you add to it?
There's one more thing that is as important, if not more so than the others.
That they're willing to pay for it.
No. That they remember you.
Oh, it's true.
Know you, like you, trust you, and then they have to remember you.
That's right.
So, like, you know, it's the old, I often say, when the light bulb comes out of the sky and strikes your prospect in the head, you know, do they think of you first? Do they think of you second? Do they think of you at all? If they have one of your books sitting on their shelf,
yeah,
of course, you might be the only one they think about.
That's right. Well, and how much remarketing are you doing to them all the time, right? So people be like, oh, email marketing doesn't work. What? You know, of course it works. You just can't send it to people who don't know you.
That's right. You know? Yeah. That's a really good point about email marketing is that if they don't know you, what's the point?
Yeah. I met with a client last week. We had built his website 5 years ago, and he calls me and says, hey, what do you think of this email marketing thing? This guy's telling me I should do email marketing, but he wants to buy these big lists. And I don't want to be a spammer. And I said, well, let's sit down and talk about that. Like, that's not the way to go. But do you have your own list of, you know, your existing customers and prospects that are kind of in your pipeline or people that just, they said no. Well, let's email to them. And you know why he called me? Because I send him emails every week. And he goes, well, I got your email. I'm like,
that's
yes.
right. Well, and you send him emails.
You, it worked.
Yeah. And this is also a really important thing about, you know, they call it content marketing. You know, I kind of look at it like it's demand generation is what you're doing.
Yeah.
But you are you're providing useful and interesting information to people.
Right.
That's what it's all about. In other words, it's not about you.
Right. Don't be boring. Okay.
It's about their problems. It's about case studies. It's about, you know, oh, if you have this, if you've had this problem, well, read this story, you know, or something like that. And, you know, too many companies, you know, I watch their advertising. I look at their websites. My number one complaint about, especially in the B2B world, is that the website, when you land on somebody's homepage at the website, and it's all about them.
That's right. Yeah. It starts with we at XYZ company.
We. Yeah. When I get a new client, I go to the website and I often do it with them with me on a Zoom call. I say, okay, let's go to your website. Let's look at your homepage. Let's count How many times you say, use the word we?
Or my company name.
And then, or my, our, some stuff like that. Let's count those words. And then let's count the number of yous.
Yeah.
On that page. And 95% of the time, the ratio is we, you, you know, like that.
Barely. So, yeah.
And that's, I think that's a real important thing for people to understand about their websites. You know, and it's crazy because it's like, it's, you know, I used to have this concept I would talk about called two hat marketing. And it was that, you know, when we're in the office, we're wearing the hat of the office and we're saying, oh, let's, you know, let's do a email broadcast to 5,000 people and we'll, you know, knock it out of the park. Right. Or, right. You know, something like that, you know, and then it has an open rate of, you know, 4% or something like that. And they don't understand what's wrong, you know, but then they take that hat off when they're at home and they put their home hat on and they go on their computer and they see all these emails coming in and they're going, what the hell is, what is with all this spam?
That's coming, exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Why are these spammers after me? And there's stuff that you get every day that you read. Right. The Harvard Business Review, I'm a subscriber and they probably send me three emails a day. I look at all three of them and there's probably one that I go to their site and I read the article.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's totally targeted to me. I've signed up for that specific list and I want the information. So if you have a list of engaged people who want your information, then you're not annoying.
Right. Right.
The other trick with that is you have to send it enough. People go, oh, well, Tom, I don't want to send something once a month. I'm like, once a month? Like, if you send it once a month, you send out 12 a year. And then if you get an open rate of 20%, like, how many times did one person actually see, like, hear from you in their mind?
Mm-hmm.
Not many, right? I don't know, four times? So you're losing so much. And then people go, well, let's just send it once a quarter. I'm like, don't even bother.
Yeah, don't even. If you do it, in fact, I would say if you do it less than once a week, why are you bothering? You know, you know, as long as you're sending them useful and interesting stuff, and they because then every time in their mind they're going, every time these guys send something to me, there's something that's useful or interesting or both, right?
Right.
And so So that's the reticular activating center in your brain where, you know, when an email comes from you and one thing I also teach my clients is have something that is consistent with the subject lines.
So that
every time you send it, there's something in a couple of words in the subject line that immediately trigger their reticular. They go, oh, this is from them. Right. And so they say, I have to pay attention to that. Right. And
sometimes you can make it be so personal that they have no idea you didn't actually send it directly to them. Right. So there's some stuff that's just flat out marketing things, right? Mm-hmm. That we're trying to, I'm sending to my video or my blog on the seven ways to get your email opened kind of thing, or whatever it is. Right. So useful information. But sometimes I send stuff that's just sales oriented. You know, and it might just be one sentence. Hey, Steve, are you still interested in talking about your website?
That's right. Yeah. The famous nine word email, you know,
no design on it, nothing.
But you see, if you, I look at it like a scale that, you know, they know you're in business. They know that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why try to hide that? But what I do is I stack the scale. So it's like, I put a whole bunch of content out to them, you know, maybe four emails with great content. And then I send an email with like a nine word thing, like, are you still interested in this? Or I'm doing this, you know, like for me, I might say, I'm doing this workshop, this webinar on, you know, next month. Would you like more information?
Yeah.
And that's all it would say.
Yeah.
And you know what? No, they don't mind.
No design. Nothing.
They don't mind.
Looks
they
like
don't, no, it's pure copy. You know, and they don't mind.
And they think you personally invited them.
Yeah, probably.
I get it all the time. Sometimes I actually try to, because I want them to do it, I kind of explain the magic behind the, I explain the magic trick to them, right? It's like, well, I didn't actually send that. I sent that to my list, right? And you think I personally send it. You know, sometimes people respond back, Hey, Tom's AI robot that sends me email, right? It's so funny.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
But
well,
it works amazing.
Yeah. Well, I think I've taken enough of your time, but what I want to do before we leave is I want to do a couple of things. First question is, what have we not talked about that you think we should be talking about? Is there anything? I mean, obviously, this could go on for
a
very long time.
Yeah, this could go on a long time.
You know, but have we missed something that you thought we would talk about?
No, I think we're good. I mean, I could go on topic upon topic, but the stuff we talked about, I think we covered that pretty well.
Right. Now, if somebody wants, so the second question is, if somebody wants to reach you, and I certainly hope they do, and you know, and for those of you that are watching or listening, you know, this is Steve Miller, you know, and I am highly recommending this guy. That if you want help with your websites, and you know, even with your marketing, hey, I don't have any issues.
Well, we don't really do what you do.
Well, okay, so you know what? Yeah. Then what does Easy Marketing do?
So we're the guys that are going to put it all together for you.
Okay.
So we're going to build the website with the type of brand messaging that you already got from Steve.
Yeah.
Right. And then we're gonna pull the website together, build an amazing website that is gonna generate a lead, right? And then we're gonna market it. So we're gonna do your SEO, your Google Ads, your social media, your email marketing, all the pieces that drive traffic to it.
Yeah. So yeah, like for example, that client you're working with right now of mine, you know, and you gave me access to the work in progress.
Yeah.
You know, and I was looking at the homepage, you know, and you can see our work together all over that homepage.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, that's
without
the goal.
Question.
It should be there.
Yeah.
We missed the whole point if we didn't put work that they already have done on the website.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So now I know you've got something for these people.
Yeah.
Something useful and interesting for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go to easymarketing.com, so it's the letter E, the letter Z, marketing.com, and we have a resources section. And I have a bunch of free tools so that you can kind of look at your website checklist or what your marketing plan should be. So just go ahead and download any of those free tools. And I think that'll be a good help. We produce a lot of video content. So you could sign up for a blog so you can get that on a weekly basis. And go to our YouTube channel and just watch lots of videos. You can do it by topic to really kind of dive deeper in the content that you're looking for.
Excellent.
And then of course, you know, if you want, I've got a big schedule consultation button, you know, click on that button and I'm happy to, you know, take time with you and take a look at what you have or, you know, my tips or tricks to what I think you can do to really grow the business.
Awesome. Excellent. So, and as you and I have already talked, you know, you and I are probably going to be connecting once in a while.
Yeah.
With some tips and stuff that, you know, just you know, like 10-minute tips or something. I don't know what, but
yeah.
we're gonna
yeah.
have some
we'll
fun
pick
with
little
that,
topics.
So.
We'll pick little topics and banter. It'll be fun.
Yeah, and banter. That's what I want to do. I want to banter with
banter.
Tom.
That's
what I'm going to call it. Bantering with Tom. So anyway, Tom Alese, the big kahuna from Easy Solution, Easy Marketing. What's the MSP called? Is that Easy Solution too?
Easy Computer Solutions.
Easy Computer Solutions. Of course it is.
I have a pattern, you know.
Don't so do I. Uncopyable. Yep. Everything's uncopyable.
That's right. Uncopyable.
Everything's uncopyable. Everything's right. And so thank you very much for joining me. This has been a lot of fun. And you guys know how to reach him now. And the information will be in the show notes. It'll be in, you know, down below. You can find that stuff very, very easily. And so I am going to leave you with the same way that Mr. David Mayo Loomis leaves us every single time. But first, I'm going to say, dream big.
Right.
And bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the one and only B2B Marketing and Sales Podcast, the source for B2B marketing and sales insight. If you enjoyed the podcast, please be sure to subscribe and leave these old guys a 5-star rating. Check the show notes for any links and contact information. You can always contact us by going to b2bmarketingsalespodcast.com. Thank you, and keep on marketing. Keep on selling.